All right. Now, before we continue, welcome to the School of Prayer again. We have been praying for the last 30 minutes. We are going to continue to pray. But before we do that, we usually take instruction in the Word of God first, and then we'll continue to pray. All right? And before we take instruction in the Word of God, we take our declaration of understanding. Now, let's do that. One, two, let's go. And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord, and I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Now, what I want to share with us today, and we are going to practice it, it's as if Tall Reverend, when he was leading prayer, he knew, of course, it's the same spirit. He immediately keyed into what we are supposed to be doing today and began to pray along those lines. Now, we began to talk about possessing your possessions, our possessions in prayer last time. And we took our text of scriptures from the book of Judges chapter 11, where Jephthah sent a message to the king of Ammon and explained to him that whatever God, the Lord our God, has dispossessed before us and therefore given to us, we are going to possess it. That is, God took a land and said it is our own and you will not take it from us. And this is a lesson in life for it, for us to bear in mind. Lesson from it is that something is always trying to take what is ours. Periodically, something will come to try and take what is yours. It is your responsibility as a Christian to hold on to that which is yours. So the fact that you believe in divine health and you fell sick does not mean you will change your mind about the word of God concerning divine health. What you will do is to possess, just know the son, the king of Ammon, has come against that which is yours. He wants to take it. He wants to take your health. He wants to take your long life. He wants to take your fulfillment of destiny. It is your assignment to fight back for it. Is that okay? And number one way you fight back for it is with your tongue. Are you getting me? It's the tongue. It's the mouth you use to fight and claim that which is yours. It's very important we understand that. So life, listen, life will not cooperate with you automatically. Do you get my point? The king, look, there's a reason. The Bible says these things were recorded for our learning. When God gave them the promised land, they got there and met giants. Every promised land that God is giving you, we have giants in it. The fact that you have difficulty and challenges is not proof that God has not given. The fact that you have difficulties and challenges in front of you is not the excuse to run away from the land that God has given you. Sometimes, take our country we are living in as an example. People sit down and they delight every day. You know the story of what happened recently. One sister, one of our people that said that they sent her to prison in Shagam. How many of you heard about it? People don't follow those things. Like, I know you will know. Our sister that said that her school, Federal Government College in Shagam, was like a prison. You know why? Because there was no running water. How many of you here have running water in your house? So you are living in prison, according to that sister. Said they gave them machetes, cutlass. That's what we call it. To cut grass. Say it was grotty. I never heard that word grotty until that day. People are now posting all kinds of things. To say from the prison to being maybe manager of a bank. From prison to being, somebody say, a professor of dermatology. From prison, yes. And they shouldn't say coming out of Federal Government College. That's what somebody called prison. My children lived in prison till they grew up in my house. Because they had to mop the floor. Do you get me? Yes, they had to mop the floor. And when they misbehaved, there was prisoner punishment. But that's the key to their destiny. I hope you get my point. Discipline. That's where I'm going. You don't take the challenges around you as a sign of prison. It's not prison. It's God preparing you for something great. Jesus did not prepare any reward for those who did not overcome. To him that overcomes. So if you are overcoming, that means you are getting a reward. Do you follow my point? It's to the overcomer. So having challenges in life is a blessing. is a blessing. Somebody conducted an experiment. It has a lot of flaws. It has a lot of flaws. The lesson in it is quite good. It created utopia for rats. Rats. They had all kinds of things. They had food. They had water. They didn't have to look for anything. You turn, there's food. Plenty of it. Then what they found out, after a short while, the rats were not interested in anything anymore. They were not even mating. They had lost, there was no drive. Because everything was provided. They didn't have to struggle for anything. So if your life has challenges, it's a blessing. Like I say all the time, if you had plans, it's been working exactly as you planned it, you are not blessed. No, you're not. You're not. It's when things not work as you planned it, then you know that God is on your case. He has planned something for you that you did not imagine. My friend said he used to brag that if he starts a church in the first 1 year, if there are not 100 members, what is he doing? If he started a church in the first 1 year, there are not 100 members. Either you're not called or you're lazy. They started the church the first 1 year, there was nobody. And he was called, I know him. And he's not far from it, lazy care. The first 1 year, he revised the doctrine. No, he realized that, stop talking nonsense. A lot of us have moments of pride in our lives, we don't know. Things like that is, I know how to do it. Sometimes I hear preachers say some things, I say, okay, relax. It's not within your power. What am I trying to say? Challenges are normal, they're a sign of blessing. But God says you must overcome. So God gives you a land, you'll find giants in there. Sometimes you are even inside that land already. And that's what happened to Israel. When we look at Judges chapter 11. And the Ammonites will now come. They want to dispossess you of it. You have a responsibility to sit down and ask yourself, what am I supposed to do? What went wrong? As I had peace for 35 years. The day came, so to speak, the sons of Ammon, that was not what happened there, but that it was Basha. But the sons of Ammon now spiritually came to take it. That's what happens. Occasionally, something will arise to dispossess you of your inheritance. Remember, fight for it. Like we said last time, you don't settle for less. Don't revise that. Keep on saying, you know, people have a way of revising down their expectation from God because the economy changed. You reduce the size of house you wanted God to help you find because the rent has gone up from 500K to 1 million. Where are they going to pay? Like I say, if I increase it to show that your eyes are on the Lord, say, Lord, I know you're above this economy, so let's first, not only will we maintain what we're thinking about before, we'll up our game. That's what we started looking at. So what I want to, well, if I'm allowed to subtitle today, writing the script of your life in prayer. This is our school of prayer. How do we pray? And what are the things we are supposed to pray about? That's what we are talking about. How are we supposed to pray? When we are praying for ourselves, how do we handle? Now listen to this. I said, writing the script of your life. What will my life be like? Let me quickly say this, because sometimes you may say that, but you said if you have plans, is that okay? And it's not going as you planned it, then you are blessed. We are not saying write this script. And that's what I want to quickly explain. Open your Bibles quickly. Well, do you need to? Yeah, open to Deuteronomy chapter 29. There's a particular scripture there. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Just a verse there I want to bring out. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. Now, why did I read this? Just to emphasize something, that life has two, well, on this context, life has two different sides. It said that a side is made up of things that are secret and they belong to the Lord. But there are things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our sons forever, so that we may observe all the words of this law. So bear that in mind. Now, let me just say this quickly. The fine details of your life belong to the Lord. Did you hear what I said? When you go out this morning or in the morning, what exactly you will encounter that day belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. You can't decide it. But there's something that God has spoken. He said, the Lord will be with me in my going out and my coming in. It's not a fine detail. That has been revealed. I hope I get my point. It's been revealed. It's been revealed that God will be with you in going out and coming in.
But that when you go out, a red car will be available to carry you. You know, there's no guarantee of that. My daughter got ready this morning, ready, you know, to go to school. She was like, okay, I have to. Just as she was ready to leave, one brother just came to see us in the house to give me something, all right? And his office happened to be right at her school gate. So I said, wait, God just answered God just blessed you this morning. Quickly, I just called him, please wait. He was supposed to drop it at the gate. I said, wait. So he waited for just like 2 minutes and she ran into the vehicle. So straight right from home to school. She could not have predicted that. In fact, she came to the room to collect money. And she still insisted on collecting the complete. Otherwise, the blessing would not be her own. It would be her parents' own. So this blessing is my own. The point I'm making is that she could not have predicted that. It's a secret thing. It's a secret thing. But that the Lord will be with her in her going out and her coming in. That has been revealed. So how do you write the script of your life for that day? The Lord will be with me in my going out today and in my returning. You can write the script, no evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. You can write the script, he will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things. And I will abound to every good work. That script can be written clearly. But how will God supply? Will somebody give me a job for me to quickly execute and be well paid for it? I don't know. It's possible. Or someone just look at it. Look at, as I was passing, the Holy Spirit said dashing money. Is he God supplying? Are you getting my point? Or is hunger you wanted to settle? You go to where they are selling the food. And the woman says, are you not so and so person? I'm the one. Oh, no, don't pay. Have you not been supplied? Or like the man who they wanted to jazz, you know, to jazz somebody. So they came and dropped sacrifice at his door. He opened the door and found food. The people who came to drop it said it was sacrifice. To him, it was God that was supplying his needs. True story, it really happened to a man. Or one I heard of one preacher talking about it. This was in the US. A woman was at home. And a dog literally dragged a bag of food to her doorstep and ran away. So I can remember the story of the woman. One preacher was telling the story of her parents. They were missionaries. Can you remind me of the story that chicken, you know, fowls, they came from the neighbor's house. They will come to her house and lay eggs. And they climbed the hill back to the neighbor's, farm. So the first time it happened, she packed the eggs and went and told the neighbor that, please, your chicken came to lay egg my own side of the property. Now, see, this chicken, these fowls, they have never agreed to lay egg for me. I'm even thinking of getting rid of them. So it can't be mine. Maybe it's not somebody else's own. So he took her chicken eggs back home. Sorry, it's been a while since I heard the story. And every day, they will fire like that. They will lay eggs and go back. How God will supply? You can't tell. You can't dictate. You cannot dictate it. However, you can write a script for your life that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can write that script. You can write that, look, what will happen to me today? The Lord will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. How we do it is a secret thing. What is revealed is that he will supply. How is a secret thing. You know, one of the things, those days when I was much younger, I'm still a young man. What I mean is when we're younger in the faith and we're learning some things, I still remember one of the most foolish things I did. I stood in front of my room. I had money. I wanted corn. I could see where they were roasting the corn. But I felt that faith means I don't have to go out. I stood there and began to call corn to come. And I look back now, the Lord was just looking at me that you're a very foolish boy. What did I give you legs for? What did I give you money for? What did I give you eyes for? To be able to see where they are roasting the corn. So the problem now you have is laziness. The Bible says much wealth or much food is in the tillage of the lazy man. But go out and till the ground, sow and reap. I said no. But because I have things, I will stay here, the corn will come. But the Lord said, if I let the corn, I could let the corn come, but you will learn a bad thing. So I stayed there. Oh, finally, I didn't get corn. I thought my faith was not working. These days I know that faith and faithfulness, they mean the same thing. You're unfaithful. If you really wanted corn, go and buy it. Because God gave you the money. I still remember that day. I had money. I had strength. I thought I was operating by faith. It wasn't faith. You cannot dictate to God how he will supply the need. You can't. But you can by faith say the need will be supplied. Why? Because the secret things belong to the Lord. And the fine details of your life is one of the secret things. So we're talking about writing the script of your life. And God, let me just say it again. What one thing that you know, this life, all right, there are people who go around taking records. There are recorders everywhere. You don't see them, but they are there. The life of Job will tell us a time where they walked. Everybody was listening to see what Job would say. Please let me quickly say it again. Anytime you hear something, be careful how you respond. Whether it's good or it's bad. Whatever it is, please be careful. Read from the scriptures how you are supposed to respond. See, you cannot live a successful Christian life if you are not a disciple. It's not possible. There was something I explained the other time, that Christianity is like training a specialist in different things. I give medicine as an example because I have experience there. It's like training a specialist doctor. That's how Christianity is. You have to be very intentional about everything. You have to read from your scriptures how you are supposed to react. If you wake up in the morning and you have a headache. If your children suddenly come up, they have a need. If your husband annoys you. If the president of the country comes on air, announces a policy that you don't like, you go from the scripture and say, how am I supposed to react to this? Be very careful. You do not react the way the multitude reacts. It's very important. I tell people all the time, once your response is the same as the one I heard last time I was in the beer parlor, you know what I mean by that? Once you are giving me a beer parlor response, you see, once you are responding, and you know this is exactly what they were saying the bus, when last time you were in the bus. The last time you were in the market, this is all the market women were saying. And that's exactly how you are saying. Let me explain to me. The chances that you are wrong is more than half. Because wisdom is not common. Do you follow my point? It's not. Faith is not that. You see, you're analyzing a situation. And you and two unbelievers, and you have the exact same opinion on everything. Just know you are wrong. No, let me explain what I said. He said, look at this again. He said, to the law and to the testimony. See, you can't speak according to that word in the law and the testimony except light shines upon you. So the unbelievers, how should they, do you follow my point? You should have light they don't have. That's why I was like, look at this new tax bill. The common man, we common men. Do you follow my point? We common. It's already an insult to the Lord. Christianity, you train yourself. How many people have watched martial arts? Karate? Boxing? Okay, let's forget even those ones. Boxing, simple boxing. Every move you see in boxing, every single move is practiced. There's nothing. See, you know, chess. All right, chess. One day I actually saw this.
they showed the chess master. You know what they call chess master? This guy, they call chess, the current one, I think the top guy currently. They showed him a set of, chess pieces on the board, a game being played. And they found out something. Now listen to this. You show him for a minute and then remove it from his eyes. He can tell you where every piece was. He just looks down for like a minute, 45 seconds. He'll tell you where every piece was kept. How many pieces do you have on the board? Anyway, those of you who know, it's nothing less than 16, 32. All 32 will tell you where they were. Look at the board for just 1 minute. But this is the catch. If you take the chess pieces and randomly arrange them, not according to any gaming pattern, he can't remember anything. I actually saw this particular game I'm telling you about. They showed him one set. He just told me, this is 2015 Kasparov versus Susan Supressing. This was what he looked at the chess board and tells you. They said another thing. He'll look at it. That was the finals in 1998. This person versus this person. He'll tell you. He's not a master by inspiration alone. There's no game you're playing he has not played in his head before. If you don't know, you're like, how are they managing? That's why so those masters, they can play 20 people side by side. Yes, they come to your table, they play. You'll be there sweating. Go to the next guy, they play. And they'll beat all 20. I forgot to mention that part of it. They will beat all 20. Because each table they come to, it told you are sweating. They are not sweating. As soon as they look, a pattern is in their head. And they know the appropriate response to that pattern. Go to the next one, take a look. In 1 minute, he remembers, oh, this is how they cornered this guy that time. This is how he came out. He plays it. Same thing with boxing. Everything you see them do has been rehearsed. They've imagined the blow coming from this side. They know how to duck, how to counter. Every single one has been rehearsed. Now, so life be. What did I say? Let me hear you. What did I say? Now, so life be. I know what the Lord did. He gave you a book of the chess of your life. He showed you how the boxing matches of life go. And he said, this is a book. When the jab comes like this, that's the Psalm 23 jab. Tell them, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When you see the jab like this, say, wait. The Lord is amongst those that help me. Surely it's one word. There's no jab in this life that there's no scripture that's supposed to answer it. None. See, let me tell you something here. You know, when I was younger, you know, we used to watch Yoruba dramas and watch them do their fights, juju fight. It was later I realized that everything those men used to say, they are written. I used to think they imagined them. No. Every single thing they fought with is written. Where the juju man trained, his master had given him all the words. Look, he would tell him, look, if a child comes and he has a fever, you will take this leaf and you will say this. They don't imagine things. Yeah, they are what they call Oduifa. Each time they want to do something, you read your scriptures. One day, I noticed something. The same sacrifices that God ordered the friends of Job to present for offering. Exactly what Balaam used to offer. Exactly the same thing. There are 7 bulls and 7 what now? Rams and 7 altars. Go and read the same pattern. It wasn't strange. Don't just wake up in the morning. I feel like offering a goat today. No. Bring tortoise instead. No. Everything those guys did was as prescribed. Everything was as prescribed. So that's why you cannot be an effective Christian if you are not a strong disciple. I'm sorry to say, people like to, like to go to church and go and be praying and be praying and be shouting and be praying. No. The primary thing, draw near to what? Yes. To listen. Because everything in life has an appropriate response. Every confusion has a word that has been spoken with which you are supposed to settle it in your life. Listen, anytime you are studying the scripture, that's what you are looking for. You are looking for, you know, what is the word that God has given to answer different situations. One day a woman startled me. She just startled me. What's a big deal? So the wife said, did I scare you? I said, scare me? Nothing in this world is big enough to scare me. She was a Christian. She finished, said, because greater, I said, she was campaigning. I said, I'll give you my vote. Because he said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in you. I said, so you know it too. You collect my vote. I joked. I bent over, walking with a stick. Someone said, hey, donkey, you're 60. Yeah. It's not the 60 I'm looking at in front now. Instantly, I straightened my back. I was provoked. And then I remembered the response. It came. I didn't even think about it. I said, it satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. I will never bend. Every situation has an appropriate response. Every situation has... You know, one testimony I enjoyed so much was this Ebola time. There was this young nurse, a young doctor, who treated that man that took that had Ebola at that hospital in Lagos. And then she woke up next a few days later, fever, all the signs and symptoms were clear. And of course, they evacuated her to the center. Hey, the part of it that people did not tell, it was not in the news, was the way her husband, she was married, handled the matter. Well, I don't know whether it was her husband, but was a man in her life, was a believer. They allowed them to take phones, and he was on the phone on the other side. It was not just a God. No, it was war. Said the guy will call, reeling out scriptures. He had the message playing on the device, hearing the word of God. The guy will call all the time, reading out scriptures. He said, this one is fight. You want to take my wife? No, I'm not agree. I will not, I shall agree. Are you getting my point? I shall not agree. There was war. I mean, Ebola was killing people. And that was a deadly one. Mortality rate above 50%. He said, no, you aren't taking my wife. No, you will not. As the way you fight back, even the attacker say, oh boy, it's not this bad. Let's go to somebody else who's not this deadly. People of God, that's what discipleship is. That's what I'm talking about. Every single situation in life has a prescribed response. Also, Mashiach, you know, you see all the guys, they do, every gushi has his gusha. Did you hear what I said? Every gushi does what? Has his gusha. You are the one that think they are just throwing fists. No. Every time Mike Tyson will throw a blow, he knows how, do you know, the opponent knows how he's supposed to respond. And the person that knows it most is the one that wins. The person that knows it most. So why are we Christians sitting down, you know, expecting to win without practice? And our practice is discipleship. Our training is the word of God. See, faith, let me tell you something. Faith is not, I've made up my mind though. It's not like this. No, that's not what faith. Faith is not your desire. Faith is, what did God say? That's what faith is. It's what did God say about the situation? Until you have discovered what God says, you can't respond in faith. You can respond with desire. You can respond with a wish. You can even respond with vexation. What is it? I will not agree. See, there was a time Israel thought they had strength. I will not agree. The people of the promised land, the Gentiles beat them and killed them very well because Moses told them, don't go there. The time the Babylonians came, what's his name? Jeremiah. He said, hey, this is the word of the Lord. Everybody pack and follow. He said, no! He said, wait. Thus says the Lord. If you want to live, follow the Babylonians. So they will fight to the last. He said, okay, good. Now, this is what the Lord says. If you stay here and resist, they will kill all of you. Because I commanded them. So faith is not, I will not agree, I will not go. But say, hey, wait. It is going time. I give you 70 years to agree to stay by obeying these words that I gave you.
No, I gave you 490 years. I said, yes. You refused. Now the land must enjoy its Sabbath. So faith is not, I've made up my mind what I want. That's not what faith is. Faith is, what did God say I can have? And once I discover it, then I shall agree. Do you get my point? I will not agree. If the Lord says, with long life I will satisfy you, and you will see my salvation, I will tell short life, say, I will not agree. I will tell short life, I will not agree. I like the story of Jachimaes. I keep on telling that story. Get the book, Supernatural Childbirth. It's a beautiful book. It will bless you. Please, get the book. Even if you are married and you've had all your children, still read the book. Put the anointing on your lips to bless somebody else. Jachimaes said to Jeremiah that I can't have children. Jeremiah said it's not possible. That who says to say, doctors, sir, what do doctors know? They don't know anything now. Imagine a woman warning you before you marry her. And he said, look, leave this, okay? I mean, leave that side. Leave that side. We deal in realms higher than these doctors. What do they know? And he married the woman. They had their struggles, they had their challenges, but the guy did not agree. Yeah. He said, no, I shall not agree. He took the scriptures and instructed her regularly. Read the scriptures her to her regularly. Did. She will conceive, she will miscarry. He said, wait, you will see. He brought the scriptures back. Said, is this one is working? Father, the woman had three children and wrote a book, Supernatural Childbirth. Because she experienced it, because her husband said, what nonsense? I shall not agree. Please buy the book, Supernatural Childbirth. God works wonders. He does. He does. That time when I was working, that when I was finished, just left after I left school, where I was working there, I had the manager. There was this nurse, Deeper Life woman. We used to talk. Was she pregnant at that time, or she was telling me the story of her pregnancy? I can't remember now. But there was a word she heard. She had had babies one after the other. So she said, this next one, I won't have any pain. Just a matter of fact. I've forgotten the word she told me she heard. So she prayed about it. That when she told, she's a nurse. So when she told the other nurses that, I think I'm entering stage two, they said, but relax. Because you are one of us, doesn't mean you now be. She said, told them, look. Ladies, please call the doctor. I know what I'm saying. Said the only time she felt anything was when the baby's head crowned. If you know what I mean, why are you nodding? You know what it means for baby's head to crown? Look at this guy nodding. Does he know? Wait, are you a doctor? Are you a nurse? Midwife? You don't born before. Look at the way he nodded as if he knows what I'm talking about. Okay, revelation. The Lord is good. She said that's the only time she felt, not pain, no. She just felt something. She knew something was going on. See, let me tell you, the Bible says the word became flesh. It's still becoming flesh. The word is still becoming flesh. Now, you know what? It's our school of prayer. So when you get down, you get on your knees to pray, or you want to pay someone to pray for yourself. Now, this is the word of the Spirit to you now. It is time to start writing the script of your life. See, let me tell you something again. Jesus told us something in that story of that teaching. They came to him, teach us to pray. He said, this is how you will pray. You will say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. What's the next line? The will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. All right? Now, this is the point. If the will was done automatically, why is it a prayer point? Yeah. Now I keep saying, if the will was automatically done, why is it a prayer point? That's to let you know it is not automatic. It is normal for you to find something in the scriptures and it's not in your life. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It means it needs to be enforced. It's normal to find the gospel of prosperity and you are broke. Stop arguing against the scriptures. If you don't know what to say, leave it. These preachers, they don't even know. Some of the most foolish things I've heard,
These people telling me, I'm teaching them the word of victory. They said, this preacher does not know African demons. Yeah, people said that about me. And I look at them. You that know African demons, you can't sleep. Me that I don't know them, I'm always asleep. You that know African demons, now so fear. You don't so sit tired for protection. I mean, if I give money, it's give. You know, like, Father God, thank you, you've been a blessing. Oh, I see somebody who's in there. Oh, look, I say something. I give money. But you, let me tie my protection. You're traveling. You go and give Bambiala. You know they call Bambiala? Do you know? You're afraid to nod now. You know that one. Some people, their children want to travel. They will look for Bambiala to give money to. And they tell me they know African demons. Or African witches. Where I'm going is that the person you heard somebody preach something that is not your own personal experience. It's not time to argue. He's going to say, okay, is it really like that? He says, yes. Is it the right of a child of God? The answer is yes. Then, time to enforce it. That means it's the land the Lord has given me. I must go and possess it. The Lord gives you a land. He said, go and do what? Possess. Go and possess. That's what he says. That is, see, this is how God gives you things. He tells you what he gave. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. You know what he told Israel? He said, this is the land I've given you. You know, oh God, Israel had a detailed map. It was them. I was having an argument with one brother. He said, whatever the soles of your feet shall tread upon, that you shall put. I said, bro, wait. That's not how it is. What the Lord said is that, look, your boundary is from here to the Euphrates here. I don't have the boundary off here now, so I don't confuse you. He told them exactly the boundaries of the land. Then he now said, within the boundaries, I will give it to you as you tread on it. Do you get what I'm saying? That you see, this is the boundary on the left, this is the boundary on the right, this is the boundary in front, this is the boundary behind. However, when you get there, you will see it occupied. Now, that doesn't mean I've not given you. I gave those people work to continue to till the land. He said it. He said, I don't want you to get there and only lions are all over the place. I don't want wild beasts to run the place down. He said, look, I want the place, having been, you know, the stones removed for cultivation, I want them to have trees people have planted. He said, but those who I gave that work to do, to build those cities, to build those houses, they are giants. I mean, who else is better at building high-rise buildings than big people? Then he said to them, now that you know the boundaries, learn the boundaries. Then within the boundaries, anywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, that one I have given you. So as you are advancing, I am driving them out. That's what he told Israel. So you learn the boundaries. You walk around anywhere you will dare to go within those boundaries, they are yours. That's what Christianity is. So what the Lord does is that, see, he expects you to take, like, for example now, he gives a commandment. Don't covet your neighbor's goods. Did you catch that? What that means is that if the car is yours, it's not mine, forget it. I won't believe God for your car. It's outside the boundary. But I can take an example from you. Okay, man, this is a nice one you have there. At least I expand my... Do you follow my point? We used to do those things. You say, I brought her. I possess. You come, you know, it's outside the boundary. We used to do things like that. I can't remember doing, but Brenda used to do it. Say, man, this your shirt is nice. I possess it. You can't. That's how the boundary was described. And the boundary says, if it belongs to your neighbor, you can't covet it. Are you getting my point here? But as a believer, God has written plenty. I said something when we began this, I think it was last week. I said that, look, it's good that we know, you know, we can lay things down. Are you getting my point? Yeah, let me just go over that again. When we are serving the Lord, there are times we lay things down. God gave it to us. We say, Lord, I know it's mine, but right now it won't help me. Right now, it will not help me. I remember I had a classmate. No, a guy who was a year my senior in university. He was a year my senior. We didn't know this guy's father was so rich. You know, say rich. Because we all live in the same hostel. He too will come out and put stove outside and quickly fry an egg. He did everything that we did. It was when he graduated, we realized that. Well, actually, the first time we suspected was when he passed his second MB. These days, we'll carry backpacks and all of that. What was trending then when we were in school was to have a fine briefcase. Yeah, a briefcase, you know. It was like a sign, like a big boy. So the guy came back to continue his studies. He came with one fine briefcase. All of that. Where did this guy get his briefcase? It's nice. That was the first time we suspected. The second time I suspected was only I was playing with my fellowship that time. The sister was in charge of our money things. I saw her, she was counting offering. She started dancing. So I said, why are you dancing? She was dancing. She was, you know, you're counting offering and you are dancing. And she showed me the envelope. And it contained, I won't tell you this, because of course, 1990. You can imagine what the value, so it would be different. So if I tell you, you may be confused as the value. But it was an envelope and it was rich. The envelope was very rich. That's why somebody took it and broke into a dance. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Spirit of the Lord can come upon you sometimes when you see things. This lady was dancing the way David danced. I said, my sister, what's going on? She brought out the envelope and showed me. We didn't know where it came from. And it was not in our fellowship. It wasn't. It was under fellowship. I didn't know where the things came from. I didn't know. Where did this money come from? We thank God, though. Big money. But one thing I remember was that I noticed the envelope. I didn't know anything about the envelope. I just noticed the envelope. It came in. So one day, I remember what I was talking about. It was graduating. It was a year my senior. So I met him in the library. He said, Pastor Bank. My friend was really calling me Pastor Bank at that time. Pastor Bank, how are you? I greeted him. He said, please, there's something I want to send to your fellowship. Can you help me? I said, yes. So he gave me that same amount of money in that same envelope. It clicked. He said, Omo, now you? I didn't say anything. I took the money from him. I thanked you very much. I went and gave that lady. But I said, Then my friend was head of another fellowship. He too told me the story of that envelope. This is how this guy was carrying an envelope and dropping all over campus fellowships. Then my friend went then to Lagos to see him. And his own graduation present was not a suit, was a brand new Honda Accord. Do you know, all the time we were in school, we did not suspect. This guy lived in hostel like the rest of us. He stayed at night in class like the rest of us. He cooked beans like the rest of us. He laid down his rights and became like born servants, the rest of us. Do you get my point? Because he had a goal in front of him. He knew I couldn't be living like the son of a very rich man and make it in this school. I had to leave every other thing aside first. He stayed in rooms like the rest of us. He will stay there. He and his friends will put money together and go and cook food. He went to fellowship like the rest of us. And you know what? We did not suspect anything. That envelope thing I'm telling you was the last month of his stay in school. He was graduating. Then we now found out. Around that time we now understood his father owned personally a merchant bank. What am I trying to say with the story? He had all those things, but he laid them down. He was humble as a servant. He came to class like a humble person. And he made it through school. He didn't fail his exams. He passed, he did everything, and graduated successfully because he was wise enough to lay down his rights. We Christians, we do that a lot of times. So Paul said, I have a right to a wife and a family. But because this course I'm studying, this destiny in front of me will not allow me to be a good father to them. Therefore, I lay it down. Now, so many of us, because the way some of us preach, you may think that Christians are not supposed to. No. What we said is that we can endure hardship. No matter how much God wants to bless you, there's a place he will send you to. He won't send you with a Bentley. He won't. Not because he can't. He doesn't have the money. But he said, where do you want to drive it to? So he gives you one very strong motorcycle that does not break down.
So you are going from one village to another, preaching the gospel. I met a man one where he was ministering. One pastor. A pastor used to cover four villages preaching. Rural Ghana. They go on bicycles. So one German came. When he heard the story, went back to Germany, sold the only car he had, and came and gave them the money to buy motorcycles. They didn't need cars. Even if God had money for cars for them, he wasn't going to give them because they were in a rural area. He would just give them money for motorcycles. Go from one place to the other, give them money to buy Bibles, tracts, books, stuff like that. So, like that German was telling you about, he had a car at home. He said, no, I don't need it. My brethren here, who are preaching the word, they need it more than I do. He sold it and gave them the money to buy motorcycles. Are you following my point? So we Christians, sometimes we lay things down. That's the point I'm making. But let's not be deceived that our God does not do great things. Do you follow? See, now, this is not a bragging issue. It's experience. I've said it again and again. If I need a private jet, I will get one. Pastor Magna, so you get money. Don't you know who my father is? You don't have one because I don't need one. I don't need one. Listen, when you have a private jet, you hire a pilot. Not a driver, a pilot. You won't go to Opak and go and ask somebody who can drive. It's not the kind of, do you follow my point? There has to be at least one crew, that's one of the other crew, apart from the pilot. Anytime you take off, you pay. You land, you pay. You refuse to take off, you pay for parking. So right now, let me just be parking my car that I can park in my house. Do you follow my point? That one, I just pay licensing fee, I pay insurance. I can drive it. And if I can't drive, there are so many men around here when we're traveling. One of them just said, okay, let's go. I toss them the key. So God says, sufficient unto the day is the car thereof. Thank you. But listen, brethren, I am convinced now, I don't have any doubt in my heart, that if I needed to have a private plane, God will send it. Archbishop Benson in Daosa in his days, twice they gave him one. From the story we heard. Do you know, he never had a private plane. He never had. But twice he was given. And he was preaching about it. He reasoned about it that his trips are not that frequent. And he travels a lot, but not enough to have a plane on standby. Okay? And that every time he flies if it's local business class, if it's international first class. So he reasoned it and said, look, there's no need adding this to what I have to handle. So he dashes somebody else. He did that twice. It wasn't because his God could not provide. It was because he felt he did not need. It's not a contest of who has this, who doesn't have that. I hope you're following the point I'm making in all of these things. So let's understand what we are saying. See, write down the script for your life concerning prosperity. Then lay it down if you have to. Do you follow my point? Yeah. Then lay it down if you have to. I said something last time. There's one you will never lay down. The script for perfect health. There's nothing that God collects that there's no advantage to being sick. See, can a Christian fall sick? Yes. But he must recover. And you will recover.
Amen.
Anybody listening to me, I say you will recover.
Amen.
Being down is not a problem, but you will get up. That's the point we're making. You will get, see, let me tell you, you will say to yourself, I will get up. Suffering for Christ is not sickness. Suffering for sin can be sickness, but God forgives. Did you get my point? Yeah, he forgives. He forgives. He forgives. If you go without food, that can be suffering for Christ. I mean, say, like, you go, I want that one is, you can be suffering for Christ. You can decide that. If you you go to one rural area, like the Reverend says something. One of the ways he ministered to one man then, during the war, was that they went for, what do you call this thing now? He went for like a camp, what do you call it? Is it picnic? Camp, picnic, a tour, you know? just went for sightseeing, something like that, with a local in Sudan. So the man said he would teach him how to ride a camel. Okay? So he said, okay, he will bring some things they will eat, only for them to get there. He brought what they will eat after they had gone into the desert with their camel and did not take any water. Hi, no water. So the man said that, well, it's not a problem for him. That just for Derek Prince that he's feeling sorry. The prince said, why? He said, he showed him one little stream, one dirty water somewhere, that he can drink that. And the prince said that. Remember I said, there's always a response. He said, remember that I give you authority over serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Remember that they will drink deadly things, and it will not hurt them. He repeated those scriptures to himself and told the man, I can drink the water. So the Sudanese man fetched the water, they ate, he drank it, the prince collected it, and drank it like nothing happened. Let me make long story short. Before he finished, that man had given his life to Christ, a Muslim. He said the man had a chronic sore in his leg. The reverend said he prayed over it. Let's make it. This is very funny. Long story short. When the man came a few days later and told the man that the sore was totally gone, he said he was more surprised than him. But why was he able to witness to that man? He drank dirty water. So sometimes God sends you somewhere and say, look, I can give you water. It's not a problem. But when you get there, drink whatever they are drinking. Drink whatever they are drinking. Stop carrying, bottled water all the way. When you get there, drink whatever. That is part of your witness. Drink whatever they are drinking. So sometimes we lay things down. That's the point I'm making. But how do you write the script for your life? I was saying, first of all, you must learn what God has revealed. And brethren, when you want to pray for yourself, before you start asking for this, asking for that, write a thorough script for the Lord. How do you write the script? Just compile everything he said. Let me say this one quickly. You know, I should start a crusade against the physicalization of life now. I just invented that expression. Let me explain what I mean. How do I say this? Okay, I was telling somebody today. Now, who was I talking to? Hey, Judah, was it you? How can you say no when I've talked to you today? You don't know what I'm about to say. Okay, yeah. It was at the hospital, yes. One of my junior colleagues. They were saying something. I said, look. This thing, I said, all these people are saying, this. Jesus called it worry. Check what you eat. Check your blood pressure. Check this, check that. Go for checkup, exercise. I said, go and check it. Jesus called it worry. I said to the Christian, do it, you'll see that when you're supposed to die. Yeah. So the emphasis is too much, and I'm saying it now by the Spirit of God. The emphasis is too much these days, especially amongst believers, on what makes for health and long life as being physical. A man of God died once. Somebody said, he used to eat a lot of eggs. I said, excuse me. He's a man of God that died. Apart from being a Christian, a man of God, and you are asking me how much egg did he used to eat? If he likes, let him eat the whole poultry. It doesn't kill. That's not the problem. Let us go behind and see what the Lord was addressing in his life. So what are you talking about? So you are telling me if he had not eaten those eggs, he would have lived? I think we have, sorry, please, I invented that word. We are physicalizing everything too much. He said, if you honor your father and your mother, you will live long. He told Moses, remove the garment of Aaron. Aaron will die. If you don't want to die, don't remove your garment recklessly. There's a priestly garment you're supposed to wear. He said, for this cause, many of you are weak and they are sick and many sleep. Why? Not rightfully discerning the body of Christ. Exercise all you want. Eat all the good diet. If you don't rightfully descend the body of Christ, for this cause, you will die. There's one guy I knew in the body, the arteries were clean, he had no problem with his heart, then he died suddenly. Do you know why? He lied to the Holy Ghost, Ananias. Is it not your Bible? He lied to the Holy Spirit. Maybe he had finished jogging, he had a lean body, he had everything, no fat, no big day. He go tell one lie to the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been telling people, if you want to lie in front of John, not in front of Peter.
Peter died, said, he looked at what is the name of our guy? Simon. He said, your money will perish. You will perish.
Go through your scriptures. You see what preserves lives of the people of God. It's not diet and exercise. God said, I saw you in your blood. I said, live. If God says to you, live, you can't die. Please don't stop writing rubbish scripts for God. Say, dear Lord, I need to... No. Okay. Because I'm wearing a watch now, so I don't want to say much. This watch I'm wearing, let me put it in my pocket before I talk. It annoys me. Today I say, ask him, I say, how can I switch all this nonsense off? So now I'll just get a vibration on the watch. Tell me you have been sitting for too long. I say, waiting because of your father. Now, person go dash me smartwatch. Normally, I don't have that. Health tracker is worry. Person is no electronified. I don't know what else to put it that way. They just too worry. Package it and put it on your wrist. You wear it to your own period. Me, I will never wear it. Right now, I'm wearing one, which is very annoying. I asked him, I said, how do I switch this rubbish off? I've told the guy, stop monitoring my life. What are you? Are you an evil spirit? Are you an evil spirit? I don't understand. I'm sitting down. I'm sitting down. You tell me that I have sat for 45 minutes. I want this one. I will soon carry you and stone you against the wall. The one that now annoys me, I will not get up. I'm not thinking of it. And I say, good, you are moving. I say, go for the shoe. No, I'm serious. Listen, I told someone today, how do I turn this monitor my life off? He said, wear it tightly so they can monitor your blood pressure and your pulse. I wear it loosely, deliberately. I don't measure my pulse, don't measure my blood pressure. I mean, at the end of the day, you keep me awake, I start worrying. Meanwhile, the day I'm going to die has been determined by the Lord. If I don't like it, he told David, if you have wanted more, I would have given you. That's what he told David. He said, if this was not enough, I will have given you. You can say to the Lord, I want to live long, and he will give it to you. I don't let anybody come and treat you as if your life is a game of chance. Did you think I annoy me? Just get up and say, good, you are moving. I say, oh, God. Just be talking there. You know something when they talk? It doesn't have marking. The one there put up. Stop talking nonsense. Tell me time. That's all I want. Monitoring, man. I say, fitness tracker. Let me not even start on that one. Let me not start. If you say all kinds of things, every day I read all kinds of things. I just say, this is what I've been telling people not to worry too much. They say, don't eat salt, don't eat salt. Do you know? Some people have done studies that if you don't have enough salt, you are likely to be diabetic. Yeah. If you are losing too much salt, yeah, it creates insulin resistance. I didn't know that until recently. With all the book I finished reading that area. Which was one when I saw 2 days ago, I said, another one. So, low salt diet, you take this one. They said they have found out now. Okay, yes. You know, what did you call this? You know, God has blessed me for a long time. You know now. You know, the Lord has been blessing me. Yeah. They found out now, low sugar drink. Yeah, that's the one I read this morning or yesterday. Low sugar. So they give you artificial sweetener. Good. God knows I never like them. Most drinks now, I don't take them. Once I taste the artificial, I drop it. Last time I'm coming here, I don't like artificial sweetness. Then I found out today that, look, the brain is wired. I read that one today. The brain is wired to associate sweetness with supply of glucose. So when you give it artificial sweetness and there's no glucose coming, it fires your hunger center. Say, boys, something's wrong. Eat. You won't know why you're suddenly hungry. That now, if you see, by the time I finished reading the whole study, the report and everything, I said, did Jesus not warn you people? No, Jesus said, by taking thought, which one of you? Not this, zero sugar. God knows all the zero sugar things. Ask my wife, I don't drink. Once you serve it to me, I take it away. Once I see the cap, there's one particular company, they make their own cap black to show that it doesn't have sugar. You will never see. I don't drink. It's against my religion. In our church, yeah. Personally, I don't drink it. Personally, I don't. You see, I don't. Then what do you drink? The drink that has sugar.
That's the one the Lord made. The other ones are made by Pepsi, Coca-Cola. The one God made. Did you see that drink he made? It's called sugar cane. He said, "Ah, man, my God, I say, you should eat sugar. Do everything in moderation. Don't be silly." No, I'm serious. You should see me when I'm soaking Gary. Whoever can soak Gary without putting sugar, you have a sin problem. God needs to redeem you, Gary. Look, we can dye the sugar later. Not when Gary is happening. No. Please, brethren, you don't like it. That's your problem. See, I don't like ice cream. Ask my wife. It's not ice cream. Is not my thing. People are drinking ice cream. I don't. But Gary and sugar, no. I have not. That's those are signs of righteousness. Shall not compromise them. No. I don't compromise some of these things. You want me to worry and worry until God gives up on my health? No, I won't do. I will not do. You know, see, I've fought and quarreled. People said I have influence on people. I said, if those who are listening to me well, they will do what I do. And if you do what I do, trust me, you'll be safe. You'll be safe. You'll not be tossed to and fro by wind or dog. Don't let God leave your health for you. So you handle it by yourself. No. One man of God, listen to me the other day. He said something. He said he's sad. He's a doctor. He said suddenly he had some symptoms and everything. He felt he was going to have a stroke. Listen to this. He said he got up and said, "The day I will have stroke has not been made." He pissed up at that. He said, "In the fight, war." Whatever thing was feeling. "My friend, return yourself to normal. You smoke something. Me release the fire of God against you." He said that day will never come. Amen. Let me prophesy to a child of God. You will get well.
Amen.
Perfect health is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Those eyes will be made normal.
Amen.
That heart will work well.
Amen.
That pancreas is waking up now.
Amen.
Diabetes is dead in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Kidneys, hear ye the word of the Lord. Live.
Amen.
Please, somebody, wherever you are hearing me from, put your hands on your side there and say, "Kidney, this is the word of the Lord. Live." Say, "This is the word of the Lord. Live." Any part of your body, there's an affliction, say, "This is the word of the Lord. Live." What's the script written? Write the script. "Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by his stripes I have been made whole. By his stripes I have been healed." Now begin to write that script for your body. Say, "The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, is giving life to my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, is giving life to my mortal body." Write that script. Concerning your health. Say, "Age is not a disease. Age is not a disease. In the name of Jesus, as my days, so will my strength be." Say, "The blessing of God that he gave to Caleb is my portion." At the age of 85, Caleb had the strength of a 40-year-old man. At the age of 85, Caleb had the vigor of a 40-year-old man. At the age of 120, the eyes of Moses were not dim. His strength did not abate. In the name of Jesus, that is my portion. Write the script. "All the blessings of Abraham, they are mine. They are mine in Christ." Write that script. That is how you pray for yourself. Child of God, in the place of prayer. That's how you write the script. In the place of prayer, that's how you write the script. What did God say concerning you? What did he say concerning you? "Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's the script. Brethren, that is the script. Write it. Write it with your own mouth. He said, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. Write the script of God for your life. Write the script of God for your life. Said, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in me. My body. God was emphatic. If the animal has a defect, don't offer it. So this body has been offered to the Lord. Therefore, every defect, I speak against you. You have no part in this body. In the name of Jesus. Write that script. My body, I put it on the altar. God said, no defect. He said, he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. John Gillick will tell you, sickness is iniquity in the flesh. So in Jacob, there is no iniquity. In me, there is no sickness. According to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord, in me, there is no sickness. In me, there is no sickness. Because the spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, is giving life to my mortal body. He said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Write that script. Say, yes, this body was subject to death because of sin. Yes, the spirit is giving it life because of righteousness. You need to write the script. That the spirit is giving it life because of righteousness. See, pain is a sign something is wrong. Now speak to that area where pain is coming from. Say, receive the word of the Lord. Live. It's called the spirit of life. That's what we received when we give our lives to Christ. We received the spirit of life. See, write the script. Say, the Lord, I have given you my body. I lay it on the altar. But the Bible makes it clear that the altar sanctifies the sacrifice. You are a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Say to the Lord again, I give you this body as a living sacrifice. I give you this body as a living sacrifice. Therefore, it is sanctified. It's made holy. It's made whole. That is the script of your life. Write it. Write it. Write it. When they led them out, there was none feeble amongst them. Feebleness is not my portion. Said, I'm not feeble in the name of Jesus. I am not feeble in the name of Jesus. I am not feeble in the name of Jesus. I am not feeble. Write that script. Write it. Write it. When you kneel down to pray for yourself, it's not time to cry. It is time to say, this is what the Lord said concerning me. This is the will of God concerning me. He said, thy will be done. Say, Lord, this will, let it be done in my life in the name of Jesus. Oh, write the script. You utter the word of God to every part of you. Utter that word. Utter it. If there's infirmity in any part of you, utter the word of God over it. Write the script. Let me read something for you. Please listen to this from Psalm 92. I want to read from verse 12. It said, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now listen to this. Planted in the house of the Lord. Say it, I am planted.
I am planted.
In the house of the Lord. I am planted in Christ.
I am planted in,
I am planted in the church of God.
I church.
Say, I am planted in the house of the Lord. Now listen to what he says. He said, they will flourish in the courts of our God. That's your portion. Write that script for yourself. Take a minute. Write that script. I will flourish in the courts of my God. I will flourish in the court of my Father. I will flourish. I will flourish. You know, I keep on saying, old age is not a disease. Everybody say after me, old age is not a disease.
Old age is not a disease.
I'm getting older by the day. Say it.
I'm getting older by the day.
But I'm getting stronger.
But I'm getting stronger.
Say it again. I'm getting older.
I'm getting
I'm getting wiser.
I'm getting stronger.
Listen to me, brethren. Old age is not a disease. It's only permitted to make you wise. Say it, old age will make me wise. It will not make me sick. You know, my wife was teaching me again yesterday. I don't have seen the video before of 100 meters dash for over 80 people. I've seen the video before. And the man was running 100 meters at the age of 100. I told my wife, I said, see, I've been saying that old age is not a disease. I like seeing testimonies like that so that you will know that things like that happen. They say it's an aberration. I like one thing my son posted. My son said, I don't know where he got it from, he posted on his status. He said, he ran in the family until he ran into me. Did you hear that? Because this thing runs in the family. He said, yes, that's until he ran into me. It may be common until it reaches my turn. It may be common, it may be normal with everybody. But when it gets to my turn, it will stop. Remember we talked about Homo sapiens Adamus and Homo sapiens Christus. What the Bible describes is life for the one in Christ. You are not, you know, I've been talking about, you know, when they are doing studies, they should exclude Christians unless they want to study them. Yeah, because if they obey, they're obeying God, they will spoil things. When they say people should die, they will leave. Their life will confuse you. Their life will confuse you. Why? Because they have a spirit working in them. It's not a normal spirit. See, don't expect things to happen to you the way it is average. They say economy is bad. Say sorry, oh. So in the midst of it, he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Don't let panic grip your heart because dollar change value. Anytime you hear something, you know what I said? Always respond. You know, now war. Have you heard? Dollar is now, maybe it used to be 700. It's now 1,005. Say, have you heard? My God does not change. Yeah. It's not your Bible like that. Have you not heard? Is that not what Isaiah said? He said, it's not weary. There's no searching his understanding. He gives power to the weak. Let's read that scripture. Okay, let's finish this one. We'll go back to that. Okay, let's finish reading this one. I need to finish reading this. He said, they will still be, verse 14, they will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green. Now, why I read this is this. Verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. That is why you will be strong all your life. Is that God wants to use you to prove the point concerning his uprightness. See, let me tell you, you will never lie on the bed in the hospital and people will be visiting you.
Amen.
I don't care how old you are, that will not be your portion.
Amen.
Please, they will not run around looking for who will donate blood.
Amen.
You will be fine in the name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you now and is giving life to your mortal body.
Amen.
Receive strength in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said to declare that the Lord is upright. Anytime you are not feeling well, read this. Say, he's my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's the name. The Lord, my rock. What does that mean? Anytime you see, let me say something here. Have you ever heard this thing before? You know, Jesus said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? In case you have not learned it, I know many of us here have learned it, and it's an important one. That was not all the Lord said. That was a summary of what he said. Actually, when he said it, he recited the whole of Psalm 24. Here's Psalm 24, right? Yes. He recited the whole of Psalm 24. 22, yes, I knew I was getting something. Yeah, 24 is the Lord. The whole of Psalm 22, he recited it. When he said that, he recited the whole of Psalm 22. The summary was what? You know, if one guy had an argument with some Muslims. He said, Jesus said, my God has forsaken him. That is not possible. He said, relax. You didn't hear the whole thing he said. So that's proof of the inspiration of the scriptures. He said, everything that was going on was written there clearly. in Psalm 22. You see him, he said, you will see it. If you go down, he said, where I'm going now? Let me know, brother. Okay, yeah. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. That's verse 12. They opened wide their mouths at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. You see, verse 16, the dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Can you see that? Yes, yeah, in verse 15. Verse 18 says, they divided my garments amongst them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So when you hear, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He was reciting the whole scripture. So those who know, once they hear that word, they know what he said. Do you follow my point? Now, you know what I'm saying all of this, just to say one point. When you are not feeling well, you will say, because there's what they call invoking the name of the Lord. You must learn how to invoke the name of the Lord. This is, I mean, the house when we pray, we try and do that regularly. The one I love most is the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Now, that's the name of the Lord. Anytime you hear the name of the Lord, God is magnifying something about his power in a situation. See, when God said that to Moses, it was when Moses got the faith to ask God to follow them. Before then, God had said, I'm not following you. But when God revealed himself to him as compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, that he keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression. Moses said, I caught you there. You will forgive the iniquity of these people and you will go with us. So next time you say, he's my rock and there's no unrighteousness in him, what have you done? You have lifted the name of the Lord and actually recited Psalm 92. Do you follow my point? Sometimes, look, brethren, this scripture must be your friend. It must be. Get Bible on tape. Get messages of people just reading scriptures. Make sure you know the word. When you say something like, to show that the Lord is upright, that's the name, the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. You are clear, by uttering that name, you are claiming strength for old age. Amen. Now, I was talking about physicalization of everything. People think strength is from jogging. So you see, we're all over Opera Square. Jogging is not bad. It doesn't have... I was running off and I said, jogging is good, amen? I like it. I like to exercise a bit too. I like to carry weight. I've not carried weight in a while, but I have springs. I like those things. I do. You stretch, you know. See my children, but sometimes siblings are coming out looking. So what's going on? He's been doing push-ups. I said, it's good at your age. I carry block. I'm serious. I used to carry block as a small boy. After we watched Oliver Orok and Iron Bar Bassi in Los Angeles 84, I've not recovered till today. When my mother is coming, we'll run. Because we put no block. We put by inside and stay outside the house and be carrying it. Oliver Rock and Iron Bar Bassi, they were our Olympic athletes that went to represent Nigeria in weightlifting, yes. So I believe in those, they are not bad. But do you know what? They work until you fall sick. I'm telling you, see, if you just sick small, jogging doesn't keep the kidney healthy. You can't, the kidney not the jog. In fact, they injure when they run up and down. Kidney doesn't jog. It doesn't. And you know, this life is full of wicked, wicked things. What the Bible calls the habitations of cruelty. Yes. A lot of things you buy to eat, they've been poisoned by careless people. Fact. So after you finish running up and down, you drink something bad, it kills two kidneys. So which energy do you want to use now to exercise? Which energy? There's no, they don't finish. Energy, I go. Everything don't go.
I know what I'm saying. So look. When I see you, say, and you run around Christ, you go pant. I said, see, wait until a car jams you when you are running. You know, when I see Christians push some of these things, I said, I don't have a problem. The Bible says that physical exercise has little problem. Believe it when it says little. You don't make it big. Don't make it look like it is big. It's little. It is small. It's small. One of the biggest bodybuilders in the world, Ronnie Cope, look. Now the guy can't walk. He can't walk. So where I'm going is that, look, let's not physicalize our life so much. It's dependent on these material things. When you get up in the morning, invoke the name of the Lord over you. Say, Lord, the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. When you say that, your heart knows. You are reading the latter part of Psalm 92. The Lord is upright. He's my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in him. That's how you see, you read scripture, all right? It fills your heart. You release one line, which was what Jesus did. My God, what? So people are now using it to abuse him. They didn't go and read the whole of Psalm 22. They didn't know he was quoting the whole of Psalm 22. You will have a headache in the morning. Just say, the Lord is upright. He's my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in him. They don't know that you have said, no matter how old I get, this brain is not shrinking. Alzheimer's disease is not my portion.
Amen.
That's what you said. All you just said is my rock. See, these are the things you should put on your wrist. Somebody gave me a band. What do they call that thing? A wristband today. Put on it, Odeshi. He gave me today. What am I going to do? He said, oh, guy, it's a gift. I said, thank you. And for the wearers, I like the Odeshi because the word of God is Odeshi me. Are you getting my point? Just like go put somebody's logo there. I said, this man is a false prophet. I don't. He's making waves now. The senior false prophet don't die. This one don't. He wants to take over his ministry. Doesn't know that his own place will also become desolate. Is the word of the Lord against false prophets in Nigeria? Their place will become desolate. And that's the smaller side. The point I'm making is that, see, those are the kind of things we put on our wristbands. He's my rock. You, when you see it, you know what it means. You say, he's my rock. You know what it means. You know it came from that end of 92, which it says that shall mark you, that no matter how old you are, you'll be full of sap. You'll be very green. You will never have to retard because you are tired. You see, let me just warn you ahead of time. You will never retire. God has not given you the privilege of retiring. You are not, no. You see, retire doing what? You are not going to retire. Look, you women, just warn your children now that 2 weeks when you're born, Max, I have things to do. Which one is mercy? It's not enough. Who will be staying with Dami at home? Who will be preaching? When the two of you are nursing a newborn baby, one. You won't have time for moving around. You will never retire. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It's a prayer. You will just be shifting ministry. It can be a time you are going around doing evangelistic crusade in bushes and all that. To training people who will be doing it. But every day you'll be teaching. If you're a preacher. You'll be giving. One man I enjoy this life. Oh my God. Are you so? I was watching him, then when he was 99 and some months, he died on me. I was waiting for him to turn to be 100. Charles Towns, he was a university professor of physics. He was teaching, he was giving lectures till he was 99. I was waiting there. One day I opened the news, crack! See, this man died on me. He didn't do this, my lectures till 100. And the last lecture I followed him on was 98. Please, I'd like to say this. So let's believe God for great things.
Yes,
let's believe God for great things. Lift up the name of the Lord over your life. So let's read that scripture again. Which verse is there? Okay, that's Psalm 92. Let's start from verse 12. Please, the way we do here, we tend to use the same version of scriptures. It makes it sound well when we are reading.
from verse 12. Are you there? Please use New American Standard, any of the versions. All right? If you don't have, just look into your neighbor's room. I want to, let's go. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Now we're going to do it one more time, all right? This time you are going to be reading it, personalize it. Not the righteous man. Say, I, because of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I will flourish like the palm tree. I will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I am planted in the house of the Lord. I will flourish in the courts of my God. I will still yield fruit in old age. I shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's script writing. Can you get my point? Now, start now. Start, write the script for yourself now. Now, you're not going to read it together. Everybody, you have 1 minute. Say, I have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. I will flourish like the palm tree. I will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I'm planted in the house of the Lord. I will flourish in the courts of my God. I will still yield fruit in old age. I shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. I lift up the name of the Lord over my life. The upright Lord, the Lord, the upright Lord, my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. You need to declare that. Say, the Lord is upright over me. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Take a minute and write that script over your life. Take a minute and write that script over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. That script I wanted to read just now. Let's just quickly read it. From Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 28. Or let's start from verse 28. You know, I was quoting that when they tell you, have you not heard that there's Ebola? Have you heard? The price of the dollar has doubled. Have you heard? Rice has now doubled in price. When they tell you, have you heard? Remember I said there's always an answer. There's a prescribed answer. See, you can't have more sense than Jesus Christ. I don't desire to have more sense than Christ Jesus. Do you want to have more sense than Jesus Christ? Any sense you have more than Jesus Christ is corrupt. It's another sense. Thank you. It is nonsense. Any sense more than Jesus Christ is nonsense. When they gave him negative news, temptation, how did he answer? It is written. See, when they came and said, Herod wants to kill you, he said, a prophet will not perish outside Jerusalem. Don't worry about it. There's an answer. And everything has an answer. They are looking for you to kill you. He said, hey, this prophet will not perish outside Jerusalem. Are we in Jerusalem? No. So you guys relax. Relax. There's no this thing. Okay. He said, relax. He passing through the midst of them, went his way. He had the word to answer everything. Oh God, you should give yourself an assignment. Practice. Look, all kinds of nonsense you hear. Once you hear, write it down. Go home and go and research on what to use to answer. Don't use sense. There's no, in Christianity, we don't want sense. We want the word of God. Yes, sir. You know one thing that recently happened to me? Anytime I'm reading the Bible, even what you call Old Testament, I discovered that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus himself, he read everything. They were inside his heart. And that's how he answered every situation, every temptation, every trial. You know, when he says, you have heard, but I tell you, I used to think they were new. They were not new.
There's almost nothing he said there. Give me time, I'll show you where he read it from. Love your enemies. It's in Proverbs. You know, a lot of us think that, no, before Jesus Christ, it's an eye for an eye. No. To love your enemies is in Proverbs. Yeah, he took the word of God, gave it life.
Yes, sir.
That's when he had to fight the devil. He said, Satan, they have enough weapons for you. Turn these stones to bread. He said, let me give you one. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man live. Satan came with another one. He said, hey, bow down and worship him. It is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God alone. He is the only one you will serve. If you jump down now, people will say, hey, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Brethren, let me give you an assignment. Go and look for the responses that are recorded. So anytime you hear something, all right, get the appropriate response. So when they tell you, have you not heard? Tell them, you, have you not heard? Now let's read that together. Are you there? Verse 28 from Isaiah chapter what? 40 from verse 28. Now let's read that version together. Let's read New American Standard again, everybody. One, two, let's go. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though young youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Please go and memorize this. Make sure you know everything. Even if all you have to answer. Remember we said you can give one verse, yet everything has been spoken. Remember that? Yes. So when they say, have you not heard? Tell them, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. That statement, you know what it means? To him that has no money, he increases his bank account. Hallelujah. Yeah, is there? Is it your Bible?
Hallelujah.
It's not there. Oh, they say it's not there. It's there in verse 29. The word for wealth is the same as strength. It is the Lord thy God that gives us the power to get strength. That's literal Hebrew. Let nobody scare you. But have you heard? He said, you have you heard? That my Father, Creator God, is not tired. It's a simple statement. One line. It's a one-liner. Man, that road is very... Have you not heard? What? That road is dangerous now. You, have you not heard? That my Father, the Heavenly Father, the Creator God, is not tired. It's one statement. Once I tell you have not heard, tell them what they too need to hear. And you make sure you hear it. See, let me tell you something. There are scriptures, like this kind of scripture now. Just tell the children, everyone in the house. This is the only thing we are reciting every morning for the next 1 week. Until they can recite it by heart. I tell you what I did in the house one day. This was during COVID. All these my children, they came and said they wanted to buy a game. Now, for information, the only game I really played in my life is Ludo. You know, Ludo. Some of you don't know what they call Ludo. Snake and Ladder also. We also played. These children, did they play Snake and Ladder? They are playing, What? So, I actually thought the game they are asking for that time would be maybe like, daddy, bring 1-5, that kind of thing. When they told me the price of the game, I said, games go for that price? I was shocked. So, their mother now conspires with them, that bad, daddy. Why are you just doing like this now? I mean, you're the correct daddy, ultimate daddy. Daddy after you know daddy, you know? That kind of thing. I looked, I said, how do I do this thing? No. But the money was paining me. Say, don't give the Lord that which costs you nothing. The money was paining me. So I told the children, no, you can't go free like that. The money shall come. In fact, I had now clinched it, but they now came and said, daddy, I can't remember the exact cost, but they said, we've gathered this amount of money. We just need a balance. I said, for game. My wife now looked like, oh God,
How did they do like say you are the poorest pastor in southern Nigeria? But my own was not money, it was game. So I now said, all right, good. All right, everybody come. You will get the money, but you must pay. They said, what do we pay? Everybody go and memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That was the payment. I told everybody, no, go and memorize. I gave them a few days. We chose NIV. When you are ready, you come. In a few days, they were ready. One by one, from the oldest to the youngest. If somebody tells the Bible is hard, there's no incentive. There's no... These children, you never give them incentive. When you give them incentive, they can learn anything. The way these children recited, from the oldest to the youngest, 1 Corinthians 13, flawlessly. Each person, look, the only mistake they make is maybe when the Bible says will, they say shall. No, things like that. But getting it, no. They got it. They got it 98% at least. So I gave them the money for the game. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's nothing they can't learn. In my house, when you tell the children, Jeremiah chapter 10, they don't open their Bible again. They don't, but that was even long ago. There's none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. We shall not fear you, King of the nation. It is your due. For amongst all the wise leaders of the nation and all their kingdom, this is how they'll be doing their head. There's none like you. They are altogether foolish and stupid. They are worthless. They will just be reciting, Haman saved brought from Tarshish. They are opening their Bibles. When you just say, Jeremiah chapter 10, you're close the Bible. And start reciting. Is there his first Samuel? You know, you are recite it. What am I going to say? Tell the family, this is what we are reciting. My house people, me and Nahil, we are reciting this. Everybody memorize it. See, commit scripture to memory. It's how you answer situations. When you memorize, see, Jewish children, it was one thing. Let's even leave Jewish children. Do you know Islamic children? They make them memorize the Quran. The children, it's Christians that will go to church and they are playing. Children are not meant to understand, they are meant to memorize. They will understand later. You understand later. The understanding will come later. Teach yourself scripture. Commit it to memory. Why? It's a response to every situation. That's the point I'm making. When they say, have you not heard? Tell them, have you not heard? That God, the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is not weary. There's no searching his understanding. It gives power to the weak. You just be declaring like that because it's reflex. Brethren, that's our way of victory. There's no other victory we have apart from the one this world produces. Let's read this. We got to close and go home. The same one, we're reading it again. One more time from verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Now take a minute and write the script from verse 31. Say, I wait upon the Lord. I'm getting new strength. New strength. New strength for me. Discouragement is gone. New strength for me. Discouragement is gone. New strength for me. I mount up with wings like eagles. I will run and not get tired. This life, I will not get tired. I will walk and keep walking. I will not become weary. Because the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. If you have been blessed today, just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Give him praise for today. Give him praise. Brethren, remember, his habits we are forming. We are going home to write scripts for our lives. Next time we'll talk about writing scripts about your children, about your ministry, about everything that your business, everything you have to do. You have to write scripts. Scripts from the word of God. Scripts from the word of God. You have to write scripts about your life. From the word of God. Scripts about your destiny. About the ministry that God has given you.
When you say, take heed to the ministry you have received from the Lord, that you fulfill it. You first write the script. You write the script. You sit down and say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He anointed me. He has anointed me. You write that script. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me. That script must be written. He gave us script. He said, when I sent you out without any supplies, you lack anything. You say, I'm going out, I will lack nothing. I'm going out, I will lack nothing. That's the script. You write script concerning your children. You say, you will not give birth to children for calamity. You have to write, you are not children of calamity. The script must be written. When you are praying, brethren, it's script writing. Sometimes you literally take paper and write it down. You collect the scriptures to have something to declare in the spirit. That's what we do as believers. Let's give the Lord thanks today for what we are learning. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we give you praise.
Let's thank the Lord for the word of life. Open your mouth. Say, Lord, I thank you for the word of life. I thank you for your word. Indeed, it is life. My life is transformed. Even today, I've written certain scripts. Oh, they are activated already. As I declare those words, they got into action immediately. Righteousness is activated in my life. Truth is activated in my life. Health is activated in my life. Prosperity is activated in my life. Wisdom is activated in my life. Divine direction is activated in my life. I walk as one that has direction. I do not walk as one who is in the dark. Because the word of God has come to life and has been activated in my life. Say, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for wisdom, for understanding, for grace. Thank you for your instruction that has come forth.